I have some points on a PowerPoint, but the scriptures are there in your Bibles, so you'll be using your Bibles this morning to follow along. Joshua chapter 14, we're on a journey with Joshua conquering Canaan. Remember that Canaan represents the land of victory. The Old Testament book of Joshua is the New Testament book, is like the New Testament that speaks to us of the victory that we have in Christ as Christians. And by the time we have reached chapter 14, Israel has been involved in the business of claiming the promised land for quite some time. And they have been engaging the enemy in battle. They've won some decisive victories. But now the time has come for them to divide the land and give each tribe its inheritance. And when they come to the tribe of Judah, there's a gray-haired 85-year-old man that's standing in the midst of them, a man named Caleb, who came forward to claim his inheritance. And I believe that Caleb is a picture of the child of God who is not satisfied with the ordinary, but wants everything that God can give him. And you know, God does not just save us, but he promises us a life of victory, an intense spiritual joy. But rather than claim what is rightfully ours, often we choose to live in the spiritual wilderness, defeated, discouraged, maybe even depressed. And we miss out on things like peace and joy and fellowship and power and blessing and the glory of God. So here's what Joshua said about Caleb. Joshua chapter 14, beginning with verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, and it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou hast heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. If this passage seems a little bit familiar to you, Pastor Josh preached it not that long ago, actually, when I was on vacation. It was a tremendous message. I would encourage you to get it. There may be some things that I might say that are similar to that, but some other things that are a little bit different that I want to bring out. I've just been preaching through the book of Joshua, and we've been talking about how to plug into God's power for your life. And so it didn't seem right to neglect this passage as well, even though that you've heard it. So let's just reinforce some of those truths today. You know that many Christians are guilty of spiritual window shopping. Any of you ever go window shopping? There's nothing wrong with window shopping. Some folks like to do it. Some people don't. But sometimes people just go and look in the windows and see things that maybe they wish they could afford, they'd like to have, or maybe they just like to look at nice things, and they just look, but they don't buy anything. Well, a fellow said to his wife, he said, why do you call it window shopping? You never buy anything. And she said, well, why do you call it fishing? You never catch anything. As believers, we are to do more than window shop with God's promises. We need to appropriate these promises and claim them for our own. And that's what this passage teaches us how to do, how to take God's promises, appropriate them into your life, and make them your own. So I want to show this morning how this 85-year-old man came to possess the things that God had promised him. Now, we joke about our increasing age, you know, with popular sayings such as, you know you are old if. And I don't know if you've seen some of these. Some of these that I have seen is, you know that you are old if most of your dreams are reruns. Or if your knees buckle but your belt won't. Or if you try to straighten the wrinkles in your socks and find out you aren't wearing any. Or you sit down in a rocking chair and you can't get it started. Or if everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Or guys, if you watch a pretty girl go by and your pacemaker makes the garage door open. Caleb pictures the Christian at any age who is willing to pay the price, fight the battles, and win the victories that God has waiting for him. This is a tremendous passage of scripture. And verse 12 is really the key verse, as Caleb walks up to Joshua and he says, now therefore, give me this mountain. And before you leave today, if there is a mountain in your life, and we'll explain what that is, but if there is a mountain in your life today, that before you leave here this morning, I hope that you can go before God and say, give me this mountain. I want to be able to claim all that the Lord has for us. And so these characteristics that are in Caleb's life are going to need to be in our lives as well. First of all, we're going to look at Caleb's commitment. The first key to success was that God had all of Caleb there was to have. I want you to notice the repeated phrase, wholly followed the Lord. This is said about Caleb at least five times in the Old Testament, three times in these verses right here. If you look in Joshua 14, first of all, the last part of verse 8, Caleb is speaking and he says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. I wholly followed the Lord my God. And then verse 9, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And then the last part of verse 14, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord. In other words, God had all of Caleb that there was to have. He had every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber, everything that Caleb had. He had given it to the Lord. He had wholly followed the Lord his God. It's a phrase that means to close the gap. In fact, this phrase was used as of a hunter who would close the gap on his prey. It was used to refer to something which meant to be full. It carries the idea of filling a sail with air. And so what we need to do is we need to keep our distance between ourselves and the Lord as small as possible. It means that we could set our sails with the air of the Spirit of God, with the wind of the Spirit, and move with maximum speed to God. What is interesting, when Julius Caesar landed on Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and decisive step, and he was cutting off all possibility of retreat. Now, when the soldiers reached that continent, there was nothing left for them to do in advance and conquer, because what he did was he told them to turn around and look down into the sea. And all of their ships were on fire. He had burned the ships so that there was no possibility of retreat. The only thing that they could do was go further, was to go on. You know, Christians, there's a lot of times that we like to have something as a backup just in case God doesn't come through for us. You know, how many people try to, they start the Christian life, but they keep ties to the old life just in case they want to go back. I'm here to tell you today, Christian, that we need to burn those bridges. We need to burn those ships so that we can't go back. So that the only way for us is to keep going forward and advance in the work of the Lord. The story is told of a man who rode his car as it was being towed to be repaired. And I remember doing this. I remember our van breaking down one time, and I don't know if this is legal or not, but you know, in South Dakota, we're out there in the Vast Lane in the middle of nowhere, and they pulled our van up on one of those tow trucks, and we rode in our van as they towed us. Here's this man. His car is being towed. He's not up on the tow truck, but he's being towed. And when they finally get to the place, the repair shop, the tow truck driver said to the man, "I didn't think we were going to make it up that hill." And the man replied, "Neither did I. That's why I kept the brakes on." And you know, there are people in the Christian life sometimes that kind of put the brakes on. You know what I mean? God wants you to move forward. And there might be a mountain to climb. There might be a hill of difficulty. And we don't know where we're going to make it, so we keep the brakes on. But to live without total dedication to Christ is the same as trying to go forward and hold back at the same time. You can't do it. And so when it comes to serving God, we need to take the brakes off. And we need wholehearted, complete, total dedication to Christ. Charles Spurgeon told about the deep love and devotion French soldiers had for their leader, Napoleon. He noted that it was not at all unusual for a mortally wounded soldier to raise up on one elbow and give a final cheer to his revered general. Perhaps one of the most eloquent expressions of all, however, came from the lips of a soldier who had been shot in the chest. As the surgeon was attempting to remove the bullet, the suffering man was heard to whisper, "If you go much deeper, doctor, you'll come to the emperor." And this is where we need to be in the Christian life, right? In our heart is Jesus. And when people dig into our heart, what they're going to find is they're going to find Jesus. And if people such as Napoleon could be such an object of undivine devotion, how much more should Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, deserve our undivided devotion? And so what Jesus wants from us is total commitment. Anything less will keep you from reaching your Canaan land. And it all comes down to this one truth. If you, like Caleb, will close the gap between yourself and him, this should be our goal. God is here, I'm here, but I want to make sure that I'm closing that gap, that I'm getting closer to him all the time. And if we can make that our goal, and if we could pursue God with every fiber of our being, if we are wholly dedicated to him, you will find yourself closer to him than you could have ever imagined. The second thing we want to point out about Caleb is his confidence. What was it that gave this 85-year-old the idea he could kill giants? Where did he get this idea from anyway? Well, let me tell you, Caleb's confidence was in God's word. His character led to his confidence, and he was a man who had confidence in the word of God. You got your Bibles there this morning? Again, you didn't close them, did you? I want you to notice a phrase, "the Lord said," or something like that, that runs throughout this passage of Scripture. If you look there in chapter 6, or chapter 14, verse 6, the last part, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said." You know the thing that the Lord said. Look at the first part of verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said." And then the last part of verse 10, "The Lord spake this word unto Moses." The Lord spake. And then notice again in verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake." And then the last part of verse 12, "as the Lord said." You see it over and over again. God said, the Lord spoke. This is God's promises. This is God's word. So where did Caleb get his confidence? He got it from the Lord. He got it from the word of the Lord. Caleb's battle axe was the word of God. Caleb had this mountain that he needed to conquer, but God had given him that mountain. Remember, even in the beginning of the book of Joshua, God had told Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot trods on, I've already given that to you. Caleb had this mountain. God had promised it to him. It was his. God had given it to him. And so I can just picture Caleb as he's climbing that mountain. He's got the word of God in one hand, and he's got the title deed to the mountain, to the land, in the other hand. And he's climbing that mountain, and he's saying, this mountain shall come down. This mountain is mine. God has given me this mountain. This is my mountain. This is my inheritance. This is what God promised that he would give me. Give me this mountain. And he went and he climbed that mountain by faith because he believed that God promised he was able to perform. You know, faith is never a blind leap, but rather it's a deep, settled conviction that God will do what he has promised. Therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Our faith is based upon God's word. Caleb had a faith in God, and perhaps some of us need today. The third thing about Caleb is his courage. Caleb's confidence led to Caleb's courage. You'll see, you'll never be bold, you'll never have courage, you'll never do valiantly until you have a pure heart and you've hidden the word of God in your heart. But then when that happens, you're going to have the kind of courage that God wants you to have. Caleb had three obstacles that he had overcome here. One of them was grasshoppers. He had overcome the grasshoppers. Remember, they sent out the spies into the land at Kadesh Barnea originally, 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb said, we can go in and we can possess the land. It's ours. Here's what the other 10 men said when they came back. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came out of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. They had a low view of themselves. We're just grasshoppers. There's giants in that land. In our eyes, we're grasshoppers. In their eyes, we're grasshoppers. Caleb's comrades had the grasshopper complex. You've heard of these people. Sure, you know who the grasshoppers are. They're the ones that say it can't be done. This situation is too big for us. This costs too much. It's never been done like that before. We can't afford it. These people are content to go back and live in the comparative safety of the desert where there are no giants. But listen, there's no grapes there either. There's no land flowing with milk and honey. There's no blessing there. I want you to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you need to take the word can't out of your vocabulary. And you need to take the word impossible out of your vocabulary. Because with God, all things are possible. But you know, the hard thing about grasshoppers is because they're hard to get at, to shut them up. You know, we had a grasshopper, a cricket, down in our vent in our house. And that thing would chirp, make noise, whatever kind of noise it makes. And it's driving me nuts, and I can't get to it, to kill it, to get rid of it. It's hard to get at. And sometimes the grasshoppers, the ones with all the negativity, sometimes they're hard to get at. And so we deal with grasshoppers. That was the first problem that Caleb had. There is a bigger problem. He had overcome the giants as well. The giants, they were big in size. They were great in number. They had these fenced or walled cities, and they lived on the mountaintop. Remember when you were a kid, you remember playing King of the Hill? how much easier it was to be on top of the hill than it was to try to fight your way up to the top. Because when you're on the top of the hill, you can just push the other boys and girls down. You get up on that pile of dirt and that high spot, that's the best spot. And here these giants were. They're on high ground. They're firmly entrenched. And old Caleb said, we're going to get to them. I know there are giants there, but God has promised me this land, and I'm going to take it. Now, church, we all face giants. There's giants of doubt. There's giants of fear. There's giants of discouragement. There's financial giants. There's giants of sickness. There's domestic giants. There's all kinds of problems and fears. All kinds of things that stand in our way. All kinds of obstacles. I face them. You face them. But let me ask you this. Do you think that the giants in the promised land took God by surprise? Do you think that when they got to the promised land, God said, oh, no, I didn't count on giants. You know, I forgot about these walled cities. We might as well throw in the towel. I think God knew these giants were there all along. And that was part of his purpose. In Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, here's what Caleb and Joshua said. They said, we can take that land in spite of the giants. And here's why we can take it. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. I want you to listen to this next phrase. It says, for they are bread, B-R-E-A-D. They are bread for us. Not B-R-E-D, not that they were sired for us, but they are B-R-E-A-D. They are bread for us. This is the kind of bread that you make out of wheat and you bake. Here's what they're saying. They're saying they are food for us. They're food for us. What is bread? It is the staff of life. What happens when you eat bread? You are strengthened. Scripture says that God gives bread to strengthen man's heart. When you eat bread, you are strengthened and you grow. Now, God has given us some great promises. But the Apostle Paul said this. He said that when a door of opportunity is opened unto us, there are many adversaries. Why? Why can't God just open the door? Why can't he just open the door to the promised land and let them go in? Why did they have to fight for every inch? Why was there such struggles? Why was there obstacles? Why didn't God make it easy? Because if God made it easy, they would have been sick and weak and anemic. So God places obstacles, church, God places obstacles in your path and mine. And God says these obstacles are for your food. You overcome these obstacles and it will give strength to your soul like eating bread will give strength to your body. You know, contrary to what Wheaties says, you know, Wheaties says that they are the breakfast of champions. Contrary to what Wheaties says, God says, Anakim, giants are the breakfast of champions. You eat some giants in your life, and you're going to be strengthened. You're going to have a power that you thought was never possible. God is going to bring power into your life, and then you're going to go into Canaan as a conqueror. You're going to claim the promises of God, and there are going to be some spiritual food for you to eat. We can look at how small we are compared to our giants, and that is the outlook of fear. Or we can look at how small our giants are compared to God, and that is the outlook of faith. And so Caleb had to overcome grasshoppers. He had to overcome giants. One other thing he had to overcome, and that was gray hair. He had overcome growing older. I like this statement here. Aging is not about arteries, but attitude. For example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 5, it talks about old age. And it even mentions the grasshopper. It says, the grasshopper shall be a burden. And we get easily ticked at the grasshoppers of life. They can become a burden to us. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be that way. Never count God out. Never count yourself out. Truth faith looks beyond the present and the circumstances and sees the provision of the Almighty God. So when it comes down to it, courage can be defined in three letters. Y-E-S. Yes. All the promises of God are yes. They are yea and amen. When you say yes to God, you are demonstrating courage, and then God is going to do something great in your life. Now, I need to hurry. Do you know how old Caleb was? Remember how old he was? This time, 85 years old. He says, and thou behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. He said, when I was 40, I was strong. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. It's incredible here. This man is saying that he was as strong as at 85 as he was at 40. I got to thinking about this. Because I'm 55, and I'm not as strong at 55 as I was 40, 15 years ago. And I always thought this referred to physical strength, you know, the bulging muscles. You know, I don't really think that that's the kind of strength that he's talking about. I think he's talking about the strength of the Lord. Because if he was 40 years old, could he still have taken on those giants and defeated those giants in his own strength? If he's 20 years old, could he have taken on all those giants in his own strength? No, so it's not his physical strength that he's talking about here. He's talking about another kind of strength. He's talking about the strength that God gives. The strength is from God, and God doesn't change. And so his God is just as strong today as he was 40 years ago. Some of you people think, though, that you are young and healthy, and that's where your strength comes from. But I want to tell you that the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 that even the youth shall faint and shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So where does your strength come from? Your strength comes from the Lord. And when he renews your strength, that literally means this. It literally means he exchanges your strength. He exchanges your strength for his. Isn't that great? So it's not your strength that you go forward in. You go forward in the strength of the Lord. And so you're just as strong today as you were 40 years ago, because God is just as strong, and God has not changed. And so it doesn't depend upon physical stamina, doesn't depend upon physical strength, doesn't depend upon financial strength or any other kind of strength. It only depends on God's strength. So some of you are young and you need to realize it's not your strength but God's. Some of you are older. You think you're over the hill. Let me give you a verse. It's, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The psalmist said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You are as young as your faith, as old as your doubt, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fears, as young as your hope, as old as your despair. There's a fountain of youth. There is such a thing. But it has to do with the outward man. It doesn't have to do with the physical, but it has to do with the soul, the inward man. That inward man can be renewed day by day. And so I'm so glad that it doesn't depend upon the arm of the flesh. But we can say that if God has given us a promise, I'm as strong today as I have ever been, because his promises are true and unending. This week I read about Doug Layton. He was a businessman from Nashville, Tennessee. an experience several years ago that is a great example of this. You might remember the night after the Gulf War, the United Nations and the U.S. set up a no-fly zone about the 36th parallel in northern Iraq so that the Kurdish people would have the place of safety and protection from Saddam Hussein. The United States also worked to recruit a number of Kurdish nationals, and 6,000 of them came to Nashville. Doug and his wife got connected with 17 of them through their church. He said he adopted one guy and ended up with 17 because of mother-in-laws, brothers, grandkids, etc. But God put a burden on his heart for the salvation of these Muslims who were in our country, so he worked with Campus Crusade to get the Jesus film translated into the Kurdish language. He even had some Muslim Kurds from Nashville speak the parts in the Jesus film. It was all completed in 1991. Then Doug said God gave him a burden to get the Jesus film into Kurdistan in northern Iraq. But he didn't know how to do it. It was a huge obstacle. He tried to get other people to take it, but nobody would. Now you need to know that 30 years earlier, before he met Jesus, Doug himself had been a drug smuggler in Turkey, and he had a criminal record there. So he said, Lord, there's no way I'm going to get into Turkey, from Turkey to Iraq. But God kept telling him to go. So in obedience, Doug flew to Turkey and took both the film version and the video cassette version of the Jesus film to Kurdistan. And like Caleb, he trusts in God's power instead of his own. And there's several just exciting stories of how God used Doug's faithfulness once he became obedient to the call of God. But let me tell you one. A Kurdish Christian friend of Doug's took the film to a commercial theater in a large city in the north. He met with the manager and said, I have an American film release, but it's in the Kurdish language. By the way, back then, films were not translated into the Kurdish language. Everything they showed either had subtitles or they watched a movie that was in English and they just tried to figure out what was going on. Well, the manager said, I'd love to show that movie, but tonight I've advertised the premiere of the newest Rambo film. Now, you need to understand that these Kurdish freedom fighters are warriors, and they love the high adventure of the American superhero movies. And I don't know about Rambo, but I suppose there's probably not a whole lot of talking in that movie anyway. I don't know. But here, he says, there's no way we can show your film. But Doug was persistent and said, look, I think they'll like it. Tell them it's a double feature and put it on first. If they don't like the Jesus film, we'll just shut it off and go right to Rambo. And finally, the manager agreed. The night of the showing, the theater was packed with these big Kurdish men with their rifles and swords. They were smoking up a storm. So picture a crowd filled with guns and smoke, cigars everywhere. Well, the manager was understandably afraid to tell them he was going to start a Jesus film. But he did, and it got very quiet. It stayed quiet. You could have heard a pin drop through the entire showing. At the conclusion, the manager scurried to the front and said, thank you so much for your patience. Now, since this is a double feature, we will show the newest Rambo film. A tall man up front stood up and said, no, to watch a film about Rambo would be blasphemous after what we have just seen about Jesus. We should not see that film. And they got up and they left. That's a great story. And you know what? It makes me feel young again. Because I know if we are involved in the Christian work, I believe it keeps us young. I really do. It keeps us young and excited as we see God move. Doug's hope was realized. God's power and provision made it possible for Muslims in Kurdistan to be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In church, I want to encourage you to always stay with the adventure. Always stay with the adventure of the Christian life. Because you see, just as he did with Caleb, God still empowers people, no matter what their age is, to do things for him, no matter how challenging it might be. Now, we've all aged about an hour and 10 minutes since the service began. Growing old is inevitable. We'll have wheelchairs and stuff as you leave here today in case we sat too long. No, we are getting older, but our inward man can be renewed day by day by day. Here's Caleb. He's a man of character. He totally gives himself to the Lord. And because of his character, he had confidence. That character was the soil in which the seed of faith can grow. And because he had confidence, he had courage. Grasshoppers, giants, gray hair, none of that could stop him. He was going to prevail in his conquest. And the last point is that Caleb was a conqueror. He would prevail. What's interesting is that the name of the place Caleb inherited was Hebron, and the name means fellowship. Caleb refused to quit until he got on the mountain, until he got as close to God as he possibly could, so he could fellowship with God. And then I think that needs to be our battle cry today. God, give me this mountain. Yeah, are there difficulties? Are there problems? Are there obstacles? Yes, there are. But God, we can overcome any of those. God, would you give me this mountain? And we can walk up our mountain with the word of God in one hand and the title deed to that mountain in the other. We can go up that mountain shouting, God, give me my mountain. We must refuse to give up, back up, or shut up, or be held up until we have stood up, lined up, read up, prayed up, confessed up, stored up, spoke up, looked up, and filled up on everything the Lord wants to give his children. We should settle for nothing less than the place of perfect fellowship with the Lord our God. Could I have your heads closed? Heads bowed, your eyes closed. I know that there are here today, those of you that are facing obstacles and difficulties. There's a mountain in your path. The temptation is to retreat. It's to go back into the wilderness. There are not only mountains. There are grasshoppers. There are giants. There's the aging process. We think that's all working against us. But those problems, those difficulties are meant to be bread for you. They're meant to strengthen you. They're not meant to defeat you. They are there so you can be victorious over them and be strengthened in the process and to grow in the process. I pray daily for strength. I pray for two things. I pray for daily strength, that God would give me the strength to get through the day. But I also pray for divine strength, because I know that I can't do it on my own. Like Caleb, no matter how strong you might be, no matter how much you can bench press, no matter how much weight you can lift, it's still not going to be enough to face these spiritual giants. You need the Lord's strength on a daily basis. And maybe you're here today and you're defeated because you've tried to do it on your own. You've tried to do it in your own strength. But if you would wait upon the Lord, he'll exchange your strength for his. And with that strength, you cannot lose. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. How many here by a raised hand would you say, Pastor, there's an obstacle in my life. There's a mountain in front of me. There's a problem. It's really too big for my strength. There are some grasshoppers in my life. There are some giants in my life. And Pastor, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I don't know how much of this I can do. I don't know if I've got the strength to defeat another problem, to climb another mountain, to overcome another obstacle. But I know what? I'm going to take God at his word today, and I'm going to stand upon his promise. And I'm going to let him exchange his strength for mine, because I'm going to wait upon him. And I want to see what the Lord can do. If that's you today, could God see your hand? You just raise it up and then down. Mine's up with you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, you see the hands that are here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would come and you would just meet with us now. Lord, that you would strengthen those who need to be strengthened. Lord, today that as we walk in your might and your power, we would see giants flee. We would see mountains that we could easily take. Not because they'd be easy for us, but they're easy for you. You even said if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, we could say to a mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And it would be done. Give us faith, Lord, as we stand upon your word, as we stand upon your promises today. Before we leave here today, may there be those who've claimed their mountain. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one thing about Caleb is that he had to stand alone. You know, one thing about Joshua and Caleb is they went in to possess the promised land in the first place. There was only two of them against 10 other spies, and then the majority of the people, or the rest of the people, they wanted to follow the 10 and the negative report. Joshua and Caleb went it alone. Caleb claimed his mountain alone. I'm so glad for the church today because you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. I want to be here today to support you. There are others here that would want to support you and help you climb your mountain and see to it that you have the victory, that you have won a great conquest. So here's what I'd like us to do today. I'd like us to pray for people that need strength. They're facing mountains. Clarice today, you know, she had that treatment last week. Last time she had this, she got incredibly weak. I want us to surround her today and pray for God's strength for her. And we need to pray for Rod and others this morning. So here's what I'd like us to do. Clarice, would you mind coming up? Would you please come? I would like us to form a circle around her. That means that if you don't want to leave your seat, you can do so, but I would like you to pray. Really, unless you have to go, we won't take a long time this morning. But I want others of you to come forward, lay hands on her. I want to make sure that she is completely surrounded in a circle this morning. So some of you have to come on this side. Would you come today, please? And maybe you want to come today. You're not in her place. You're not in a place of difficulty. But you know, your turn will come. And you're going to want other people to surround you and pray for you. Father, I pray for that strength today, the same strength that you gave Caleb to be in Clarice today. Lord, I pray for daily strength. Daily you would provide the strength that she needs. And I pray for divine strength. Lord, I pray that you would exchange hers for yours. Lord, I pray that these treatments that she is going through, Lord, that they will be successful. And you would bring healing to her. And we would conquer this giant in her life today. Give her healing. Give her victory. Lord, you are the God that heals us. We proclaim those stripes today, whereby there is healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then could we pray for Rod, too? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to come to the microphone because there's people there. It's hard for you to agree in prayer if you don't know what's being said. So if you'd come up here to the microphone and lead us in a prayer for Rod this morning. And if you can think of a promise from God's word, use that. Because again, that's where faith comes. Caleb had courage because he had the word of the Lord. He had heard God speak. Brian?
Give the strength for Rod and for helping him get through this, and just make every day a brighter, better place for him. In Jesus' name I pray.
Lord, you say in your word that when two or more come together, that you will answer our prayer. We come to you in front of you, Lord, petitioning you for healing for Clarice and for Rod. We come to you as a multitude, Lord. As I'm sure we're, those of us that are standing here today are not the only ones standing there petitioning you for healing for Rod. We just ask, Lord, that you put a healing touch upon all those that are here, Lord, and that we're not able to make it here today that need healing. We ask that you just put a hedge of protection around these people, Lord, that you would put your angels around them and not let any more harm come to them. We ask that they would put a healing touch upon each and every one of them, Lord. Bring healing to their bodies, to their minds, to their souls and to their hearts, Lord. We ask of you of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father God, we ask there any decisions that need to be made, you make it clear to them, Lord, and to the families. Any decisions, Lord, we pray for wisdom and the peace that passes all understanding. It's so hard to watch someone you love hurt. So, Lord, we pray for Audrey and all of Rod's family and all of Clarice's girls, Lord. We want your peace. Let your love shine down on them too, Lord, and comfort them and guide them. In your name, Jesus.
Father God, you teach us in James that if we gather together in your name, Lord, that you promise that we will... what we pray for will be lifted up. Our prayers will be heard. Lord, we come together and ask you to lift up Clarice and touch the medicine and use it to carry her witness farther and for all for your kingdom, Father, to be glorified. And for Rodney, we just so much enjoy his spirit, Lord, that you've given him, and we ask that you continue that. As Pastor prayed yesterday, we know Rod will be faithful and use this experience as a testimony, Lord, for you. And we ask that you lift him up and his doctors, and if it be your will, Lord, bring Rod back to us. We ask you all this in Jesus' precious name.
Is there anybody else who wants to get in the circle? You're having an obstacle. You're having something that you want us to pray with you about. There's a mountain in your way.
Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And Clarice, if you need to sit down, please do. How are you doing, Della? How's your strength? Okay.
Thank you for your prayers.
Okay. Okay, we've got a couple more here. If anybody would like to step to the microphone and pray.
Lord, I just lift up Jake. He's got a big obstacle in front of him. Two loved ones, gone in the blink of an eye. I can't imagine how that would be. But God, with your love, I know I don't know if he knows you yet, but I know with your love and peace surrounded with around him, everything is possible. Lord, I ask you to touch him right now. Be with him. People
Thank
that
you, Lord.
Are in his life that know you, please let them come forward. Last week I was on my way to the visitation and the devil had to stick his hand in there. I wasn't able to make it, but it's not over yet. It's never over. So we just ask you to give him the peace and give him the strength to move forward and keep on going one step at a time.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. And Lord, we pray for strength for Bev. Lord, as she still needs that strength that only that you can give. Pray for strength for Jill, and still suffering the hurt, the loss of her sister. Lord, everyone is facing some kind of battle, some kind of mountain, some kind of difficulty. Give grace, Lord. Touch Deb. Touch me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whoa. Oh. sorry, Amy lost her father a few weeks ago. Let's pray for her. Lord, give her peace and comfort. And Lord, as they still have things that they're dealing with, Lord, from that, just work a emotional healing and bring peace there. Lord, thank you, Lord. Touch Tanya, Lord. Touch Tanya today. Touch Deb's foot, Lord. Heal it, her toe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what the devil tries to do now is he tries to throw dirt on things. And I was reading a story this week about a farmer who had a mule named Della. Sorry, Della. That just happened to be the mule's name. And this mule fell into a well, and an abandoned well, and he was not able to get it out. So he thought, well, I can't let it starve to death, so I'll just throw dirt on it and bury it up, you know, real quick, and be less painful to die that way. But every time he threw a shovel of dirt, that mule would pack it down and stand on top of it. And eventually he threw enough dirt in, and that mule packed enough of that dirt down that it was able to walk out. You know, and as the devil throws dirt, instead of letting that defeat you, use it as an obstacle to climb your mountain. So you just, Della's okay. So God bless you. I know I kept you later than I probably even thought. Could we sing a song as we leave? What do you got playing there? That's a good one. I noticed that song had a couple of points in the message today. So God bless you. You can be dismissed. You leave with this song in your heart.
Jesus, the most beautiful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings healing and strength. Speak your name, mountains move, chains are loosed. When I speak your name, darkness flees, it has no hold on me. Jesus, most beautiful name. Be exalted.